This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
Go ahead.
Hey, welcome. Welcome to the front line on Monday, the 25th of August. We've burned up most of the month of August. Do you believe it?
Wow.
It went by too fast.
Burned up is probably a good way to put it.
That's how you feel in
considering
South
the heat wave. Yeah, really. Well, it is a heat wave, and we've had them before. You know, people say, well, it's that climate change business. And I say, look, I've lived in Florida since 1955. Mm. We've had hot summers and cooler summers. I said it's not that. But anyway,
it's cyclical.
It's cyclical, right. And I'm cyclical of it.
I'm not cyclical of it.
Not even close.
I used to ride a cyclical.
This poor pastor walked into the comedy show.
Willie has a great sense of humor, so I know it's going to be.
He's going to join very
We're
going to well
get, in a moment, I'll introduce our guest today. First, I am compelled by tradition, which is a great compulsion usually, to introduce my co-hosts. And first of all, the one who was actually talking when we came on the air. Ed Skiba.
If I started out talking that soon, do I get paid extra?
You do.
Let's see. Talking about climate being cyclical, I used to ride one of those, but I kept falling off.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Another beautiful South Florida morning.
Amen. Amen.
Oh,
yeah, we're going
goodness.
To. You get. Time and nothing a half for your extra time.
Yeah, and the Lord's been sparing us those storms.
We've been blessed so far.
Where they can't hurt anybody.
He has.
And we say thank you, Jesus. And
Lord, yes. Continue to send them.
Continue
if we need a little rain
more.
From one, let it hug the coast a little bit, and not destroy anything, but
Absolutely.
Give us some water. Anyway, that's All our right. hope, Lord. What you want to do is up to you.
That's it.
Then, of course, Ann Limhoko. My other
Good
wonderful,
morning.
Faithful co-host.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the day the Lord has made, and I always want to say we need to rejoice
yes.
in every day.
Amen.
So let's rejoice in today.
We really need to. We often, I don't think I do that as much as I should, but let us all then rejoice, mm-hmm. because, and especially today,
yes.
we have a wonderful guest with us, and Pastor Willie Davenport, senior pastor at First Baptist Church in Port Salerno, Florida.
Yes, sir.
Welcome.
Yeah. Well, thank you, and you're very giving with those words. Wonderful is not the word everyone uses. So.
Well, Willie, I'll just say I'm a pastor, too, so I totally get it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
well, sometimes you're wonderful on Saturday, but Sunday afternoon you're just talked about.
Oh, tell us about it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm with three ordained pastors today.
Yeah.
I'm in the company of three pastors. So.
And of course, when God puts on your heart something to preach about that is, it's not, it becomes personal
to
the listener and challenging to them, and then,
Sure. Yeah, we just finished up.
Sunday afternoon is reserved for the divine supine.
Yes. Pretty much know where most pastors are going to be.
For those of you that don't understand, that's a nap.
Yeah.
That's a nap.
That would be wonderful.
Right, exactly. Even though I don't pastor a regular church anymore, we do a home church.
Yeah,
but,
right.
The recliner in my bedroom still twitches in anxiety as soon as I walk in the door about nap time. It's really interesting how that works.
Well, the other side of that is I was telling her, we have a new youth worker, and he's coming as an intern, and I was telling him that for me on Sunday, it's almost like finally getting to release all the things I've been pouring my heart into all week long.
Yeah.
And so I look forward to the opportunity to finally explode with what God's been putting on me. And still in that moment, still a lot of weight, still a lot to carry.
Yeah. And as I was thinking how I would introduce you, apart from who you are at First Baptist in Port Salerno, and the last time you were with us, as we were coming to the close of the program, and the Lord said to me, literally I heard him say, you got to have him back.
Oh.
And so I'd mentioned that to you, and because there's more that God wants you to share on the air. And some of it is going to have to do with his calling on you as a pastor and you know, how you perceive that call.
Yeah.
There are always particular elements that we recognize as pastors that we have to be doing. We have to be involved in. They're very important. And also, and I'd shared this with you before, I think at least a couple of times, and I still believe it's true, so I'm saying it again, but we're finding ourselves in a time where God is working, is moving within his church. Jesus is resetting his body, the body of Christ. We need this.
Mm-hmm.
If we look back over the last several decades in America, we could say the West, but I'll limit it to America, that the church has sort of slowly but steadily receded and started to hide behind the walls of the church, not get involved in the culture, and yes, even in the politics. Mm. And for that reason, many egregious things have been done by the enemy through non-believing politicians mm-hmm. and other industry leaders and
yeah.
influence that's come in mm-hmm. to make laws that are not godly.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody's heard Roe v. Wade. Thank God that's, at least at the national level, that's out. But the fact that it even happened, where was the church? Well, the church was not there.
Yeah.
And there's so many other things. But God is, you know, we're repenting. And so we're now in a season of change.
Yeah.
And when I first met you, it was a Wednesday Live, I think. You came in as a guest.
Yeah.
And I was hearing, as you're sharing from your life and your heart, I'm hearing God say, he's one of my people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's one I put on the front line as part of the reset. So,
praise the Lord. Man.
And your testimony there, if any pastors are listening, I really do ask you to open both ears and pay some attention, because yeah. God is doing a teaching through this broadcast today and from our brother Willie.
Yeah, well, praise the Lord, man.
And so let me just open up. Let's ask you to, you know, share from your heart about your call as a pastor and those particular elements God has put on your heart that are crucial.
Yeah, well, just, you know, whenever that question, it's kind of that could go a long way. It's hard to believe that even though I'm dashingly good looking and everything, right?
Yeah.
And you guys can vouch for that, but no one else can. And the
if you had your glasses checked lately,
right? Exactly. But I've been raised in ministry my whole life. My dad was a missionary church planter, and he pastored there in Parchment, Michigan. So mm-hmm. I was there for the first 9 years of my life, and it was in that ministry where I was saved, and that's something mm-hmm. that a lot of people don't get to have. They don't get to have mm-hmm. the experience of saying that their parents mm-hmm. were godly parents nowadays. And it's amazing even today when you tell the basic stories, Noah and the Ark and Jonah and the whale and even Lazarus coming from the dead and Jesus yeah. coming from the grave. I mean, you mm-hmm. tell those stories. It's amazing how many people don't know those today.
Yeah.
And you're telling them like they're the first time ever being told. And mm-hmm. I'm among those that did not have that and was raised hearing my dad teach in seminary and things mm-hmm. of that nature, and got a lot of those wonderful opportunities. And God used him to really plant a wonderful seed, not only the gospel, mm-hmm. but a hunger for the knowledge of the Word of God.
Amen.
But I was 7 years old when I was saved. I was saved at church camp. He was among mm-hmm. those pastors that were standing in front, and I went forward after hearing a wonderful message about how that the blood was needed, and I knew I needed it even at the age of seven.
Wow.
And that's true for anyone that understands the fact that they are sinners and mm-hmm. they need to be mm-hmm. redeemed. There's only one way, and that's Amen. Through the blood of
yes.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So went in, you know, just grew up, and when I was 19, I took my first youth pastorate at Gathering Place Baptist Church in Kettering, Ohio. And then after mm-hmm. being there for a couple years, I ended up in Noblesville, Indiana. And it was in that ministry as a youth pastor that the Lord called me to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And that was definitely a hard-fought hallelujah type situation
mm-hmm.
where
yeah.
I was having grown up in ministry, having served in ministry mm-hmm. literally my whole life, that was kind of the least I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And really battled that. My wife, she teases, it's kind of an ongoing joke, but she yeah. thought I was having a stroke when I was fighting the invitation because
my goodness.
I was literally wow.
Wow.
I was having a very hard time. And by the time I finally surrendered and went forward and buried my head into my pastor's shoulder and just said, I know I need to surrender to ministry.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to believe that was over 20 years ago mm-hmm. and that the first church that mm-hmm. God gave me the opportunity to pastor and to plant was literally 20 years ago now.
Yeah.
And so it's just been a crazy ride. even if I known the craziness that was coming with it, I still would have said, absolutely, I will follow. And just to have the honor to know him, the honor to serve him.
Yes.
And so I don't know. And that flash forward, here we are today. I've been here now for 6 years, and we're very thankful for where God has us. And who knows what's coming through the door next. So that's excited.
Pastor, how did you know? You took youth pastorships before you knew you were called to be a full-time pastor. Is that right?
Correct.
How did you know that you knew that the Lord was calling you to be a full-time pastor, if I may ask?
Well, I think that there's some level of you have to look at, kind of like Moses, you know, what's in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an understanding in my personal experience where I had been raised into it. I had been exposed to it on a level that many people had not been. And there was some degree of it. It was already in my hand. And so for me, it was more of a, okay, I will take what's in my hand and I will serve you with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have that same testimony where I can look at the individuals that came to Christ and later in life and having the baggage and mm-hmm. that God, gloriously redeemed them from. Right. And
Ed was raising his hand.
Yeah. And I don't have that. And so sometimes it's difficult to say. Mm-hmm. Only thing I could say about that is that we are praying for more laborers in the field,
mm-hmm.
and that many are called, and that few are chosen.
Yeah.
And so the reality is I think that the empty pulpits of churches declare that there's a need for more to surrender to the ministry, more for to commit. And I think that it's not an issue on the caller; it's an issue on the callee.
Yeah,
just surrender. Mm-hmm. That would probably be a just surrender.
Yes, and obey.
Yeah.
And that's what we really ultimately have to do. When I received Jesus as Lord and Savior, asked him to come into my heart, that was the first surrender.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. begins a process, a lifelong process of surrender.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but we can also be rebellious and, hey, I've not cornered the market on that, but I have done my share of rebellion. Yeah. And the Lord lovingly, corrects me. But
mm-hmm.
I was reading scripture yesterday during my sermon. I'm terrible on chapter and verse. But it says that God's calling is irrevocable.
Yes.
It's irrevocable. Once you're called by God, you can walk away from it, but you will be accountable to him for it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there are many men and women that are called into it that walk away.
Yeah.
They say, no, that's not for me. I've got other things I want to do. Yeah. There's so much the world has to offer.
Yeah.
But it's an irrevocable call.
It won't satisfy,
call,
though. So. Yeah. If you're not doing what the Lord has called you to do, you will not be satisfied.
Amen.
There will always be that emptiness, I feel, right, pastors?
Oh, absolutely.
That
you might be pacified, but you won't be satisfied.
Exactly.
That's right.
Paul speaks about, I forgot his name, but one of those who had served in ministry with him and how that he had forsaken him because he loved the world. And that's one of the things that we're going to see more and more of, even as the days approach.
Yes.
More and more who love the world, and they therefore prove that they never were right, and that they are apostatized. They've apostatized the faith.
I go back to the old flag I've been waving for a long time. God is raising up a remnant people.
Yes.
Everybody's not coming. There's a remnant that's coming.
Yeah.
I pray for a lot of people who I know who are not walking completely with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I pray, Lord, will they be so hungering for more that the world does not satisfy anything that they're chasing, that they have to turn to you?
Yeah.
That is a prayer I pray for a lot of people.
Amen.
Because some people are caught in money or career. That's not going to satisfy.
No.
Mm-mm.
No, it's all.
You have to walk in your calling.
Yeah. It was Demas, by the way. I had to look that up in 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas was the one who forsaken that. Yeah, the world is very, very desirous, and people get very wrapped up into that. And I think one of the great struggles that we have today is people trying to merge the gospel into the world. And it's almost as if saying, let's try to make this make sense. Let's try to put God in a box that we can understand him. And then let's try to say, okay, well, this means this, and this means this. And what I mean that is in a very worldly sense. And that's just not the way it is. What is of the kingdom of God is of the kingdom of God. What is of the world is of the world.
I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Never change.
Amen.
That's just annoying, though, how the church tries to be like the world when we, as the church, are supposed to be leading the culture and not adopting into the culture.
It's
do you know what I mean?
User-friendly.
Yeah.
That's how we attract people in. That's a lie of the devil, too.
Yeah.
We've got to attract people. No, the Holy Spirit attracts people in.
Amen.
You be faithful to the word.
Yes.
Amen.
This God will bring the people.
Yes.
When I was, I won't mention the denomination, but I was in a mainline denomination for over almost 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that I saw that coming in seminary, and then it became a real issue and a struggle for me to see that that what the leadership was saying is we have to accept everybody or we're going to lose members. I mean, that's what you heard. I mean, that was more or less implied, but it was there. And so the posture became more and more worldly is, you know, well, God made you the way you are. Come and we'll celebrate that with and of course, during that same time, and no one was looking, but membership declined radically because there were a lot of us saying, oh, wait, that's not biblical.
That's not godly.
Amen for that. Amen. You know? There were people who were standing up and saying, no, we will not be a part of this.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But
Amen.
Many of us stood up and walked out ultimately because we couldn't stay.
I left the same denomination.
Ed was part of the same group I was in. This is why when we talk about pastors like yourself who apprehend God's will for the role of the pastor, Christian pastor today, and how to face those kind of issues, because we're looking out over a church that has been heavily influenced by the culture.
Yeah.
Instead of the other way around.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I always go back to Ephesians 4.
Mm-hmm. Speak the truth.
And I love it, the speaking the truth in love.
Mm-hmm.
Paul
Amen.
Writes this. It's a teaching to the church leadership about how you do God's work in the church. And he talks about, from verse 11 onwards, says, and he's speaking of God giving the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, and this, of course, they're all pastoral roles, and we as pastors, you know, primary leaders in a community, this applies to us for the purpose of equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine.
Yeah.
Which is often sadly described some major churches today.
Sure.
By human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes and all that. Rather, and this is the key verse, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, and from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And Willie, that verse comes to me as I believe it describes your heart as a pastor. And I really mean that. I
appreciate that, man.
And that's I'm not awesome. Just, you know, this is not empty praise. I mean, I'm identifying something that for you is a driving force in your pastoral life.
Yeah.
And to see that you're doing that. Now, having said that, it's not always easy.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So, and maybe if you feel, without mentioning names, but testify me, this is your heart.
Yeah.
And you're doing this in your ministry. Just share with us how that's working.
Oh, I think that, you know, there's some things that we just have to really take comfort in, and that is, I think Brother Ed just said it already, and that is that our job is to just simply preach the word, right? That's actually what we're commanded to do, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Amen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, but then he continues that with what? Reprove, rebuke. And so that gets into the preaching the truth into love. I mean, you talk about bringing that to a full circle. That's what love is.
Mm-hmm.
Love is the Coast Guard who goes out of the ocean and sees the drowning person that will not submit to being saved, having to cold cock them into the face, knock them out, drag them to safety. That's love. That's real commitment.
That's true.
And so that's the thing that we have to be very careful of, is that whenever, and then, you know, even thinking about like John 4, truth and worship go hand in hand. We can't have love. We can't have worship without truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so being bound to that truth and then delivering that in the spirit of meekness, as Paul says over and over, all of these things are just vital for the aspect of what ministry really looks like. I think one of the greatest issues in preaching, teaching today is that the world no longer identifies true love. They identify love with very temporary, how they feel, things that are happening, and then they're even being told, oh, well, this is love. Love is universal and all these different things.
Yeah.
The reality is that love is none of those things. Yeah. True love is only God and his son, Jesus Christ, and the grace and the gospel that came with that.
Yeah.
And even as you were reading there from Ephesians, rather, I went back to 1 Corinthians, and it's really very similar in 1 Corinthians 12 when he's talking about those spiritual gifts and everything. And I had a chance to go to church camp here a few weeks ago, and I was walking around and listening to one of the other pastors as he was teaching a lesson, and he was really building on that. And I love the word give and gave. And he was saying that God gave some apostles. God gave. These are gifts.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for the church, it's not that the church has to have this sub leader under Christ. It is that they get that guy.
Yeah.
That's a gift.
Yeah.
That God's given them.
I like how he put that.
And so it is something that, you know, people don't love it all the time. And I can rest well with that. I'm okay with the fact that they don't love it all the time, because what they don't love, and if it's truth, that doesn't change. What changes is the ebb and flow of your emotion, though.
He used that word gave in the same context as he gave his only begotten
Amen.
Son.
It's a gift.
Amen. Yes. It's a true gift. And you know, we didn't deserve it.
No.
We'll never deserve it, but God has chosen to make us worthy of the gift we don't deserve.
Thank you, Lord.
And Grace.
We're going to take a break, but I just want to kind of throw a cap on the end of that conversation to say, you know, if a pastor looks at the love part only and how they present themselves, how they manage the ministry of a church and all the people with how they get educated, how they get trained up and even discipled, if they edit out truth, then the promise is those people you reach will never be restored because restoration, the full restoration in Christ, comes because it is love in truth.
Yes.
Anyway, I thought I'd throw that in. We're going to take a break.
For sure. Love is truth.
And we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation, born out of the 9/11 tragedy, helps first responders and their families in time of great need. Renowned saxophonist Aaron Abu, along with former Miami Sound Machine members Pedro Alfonso and Manny Lopez, are playing a benefit concert for them October 30th at the Lyric Theater in downtown Stuart. Be a blessing to those in great need and enjoy a superb evening of wonderful music. Information on tickets is available online at lyrictheater.com or by phone at 772-286-7827. And we are back. We are back. This is the Front Line on Monday, the 25th of August, and we have Pastor Willie Davenport with us, the senior pastor at First Baptist Port Salerno. I have to get that order correct.
Yeah, that's right.
We've been talking really about his vision of ministry, and we left on the point of Ephesians 4:15, really is speaking the truth in love, which is the whole package. In other words, it defines ministry, really,
yeah.
And discipleship is the character, is we speak the truth in love. And there we don't, then there, if we don't diminish the gospel, we open the door for the restoration of souls.
Yeah.
And in fact, I've talked to people who have been a part of churches that only did one or the other, you know, and they left dissatisfied. Yeah. If all they did was truth, then what you got in the pew was condemnation. If all they did was love, then you got no restoration. Because every lifestyle is, from their viewpoint, it's okay with God, and he's not going to change you.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's not true. Scriptures are clear on what lifestyles are abhorrent to God.
That's right.
And how we as pastors, we need to make sure our people are.
No, I think that the real struggle is learning, with as far as that goes, is learning how to do that in love, in the spirit of meekness, and understanding what the spirit of meekness looks like. I learned a long time ago from one of my pastors that he said that meekness is not weakness.
Right.
Meekness is power under control.
Power under control.
Power under control.
That makes sense. Okay.
And, you know, we look at Christ, and Christ was without a doubt meek. He's the example of meekness that we're to follow, even that over the meekest man of the world, which was Moses, right? But he preached with power. He preached with authority, even to the point where when he spoke, he knocked down those who came to get him. He preached with authority in such a way that when the soldiers were being told to arrest him, they left him alone, for never a man spake like this man, they said. And he spoke with that type of authority, and the messages that he preached were to the heart. I mean, they were he didn't sidebar anything. He didn't cover anything up. He presented it in truth, just for what it was. And yet that was the example of meekness. And so meekness is just a matter of, I think that you have to know what you're talking about.
Yes.
One of the great issues that we have today is that, you know, this used to work better. When I was a kid and I would go to church, you'd hear the preacher, he'd get up there and he would say a point. And he'd present that point, not a biblical point necessarily, but he would present a point and he would say a point and he would say, this happens. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. And the reason it doesn't happen anymore is because we go back into Daniel and we see why. It's because knowledge has increased. And now you can't fire anything out there without it getting snoped. You know, you can't put something out there without the information truly being mined out.
One of the worst things we've got going right now, in along those lines, is AI. It is
it's
so secular. And I'm having that situation at my church with a man that is very little theological education, but goes to AI for everything and wants to argue every point from AI's perspective.
Which is terrifying. And I think that, you know, I've even talked to a couple guys about this, and there are pastors out there that are building their sermons on AI.
Oh my goodness.
And you know, because, and that's the thing, is that prayer is not mechanical. Study is not mechanical.
No.
That's heart, it's spirit led. And when you remove that,
absolutely spirit led.
That's what's happening. But that meekness and that willingness to say, thus saith the word. Right? Thus saith the Lord. That is something that I have found people will respect it. They may not like it, but they will respect it. Because you don't cower down because it's not your thought. It's it's an original thought. It's a God thought. And so there's nowhere for it to go. It's at the base. And so so I think that that's key when you're delivering these messages. Right. Matter of fact, I think it was I just saw a thing last night, and it was a question was brought up, and I'll save the question because I don't want us to I don't know everyone stands on certain things in this room and the listeners, but a question was asked to a preacher, and the preacher simply went immediately to the Word of God, read the passage, and he said, "So why not?" Because the Bible says so.
Exactly.
is the stand that we have to take. Because the Bible says so.
Yeah.
Absolute truth.
We cannot. Amen. Absolute truth. And so we cannot falter from that. And I'm thankful for that. Yeah. In a way, doesn't that make ministry easier?
Mm-hmm. It's like, absolutely. It should.
It's easier. I don't have to come up with my original thoughts, and I don't have to prove my opinions. Mm-hmm. I just simply proclaim the Word of God.
Amen.
And there's
Amen.
Something to be said, too, when in a conversation with someone and the Word of God enters into it.
Oh, yeah.
And that person receives it poorly, to ask the question, why did you receive that poorly? This is the Word of God. God ultimately wants the best for you.
Yeah.
And clearly, this word that was delivered to you upsets you because it does not match up with what you want to do in that given circumstance.
Amen.
And yet, who are you? What does God say? Where were you when I made the world? When I made, have I ever sought your counsel?
When I created all the stars,
it seems to me, Willie, that, and we're talking about this, talking around all of this yet up till this point, is that when we serve God as pastors and we recognize that a circumstance, either it's from the pulpit or it's in a private counseling environment with someone in our church, who has brought to us an issue, or maybe God has shown us they need, his word.
Amen.
And we go to them because that's part of our job, and they don't receive it. Really, it is dealing with that kind of rebellion, and we need to call it that.
Yeah. Oh, it's exactly right.
I've been on the other side. Rebellion is witchcraft.
Absolutely.
As the word says.
But I've been on the other side of it. I have not received my life, I'm going to say, not perfect. A word of God has come to me and I've not received it well, struggled with it, and rebelled then until I realized, I had to repent. And then receive that word and make it a part of my life.
But for you, brother, that was not, that was conviction. That was the Lord convicting your soul as a child of God.
Right.
For the unbeliever, though, it's different. For the unbeliever, it's total rejection, and it leads to condemnation. There's no condemnation upon the believer.
Mm-hmm.
And so when those things happen, we are the example of James, right?
Mm-hmm.
We go to the Word, we see ourselves, and then we if we're obedient, we change.
Amen.
And so praise God for that.
Yeah. But I think it's helpful to identify, listener, you're paying attention to what's being said. Is you can think maybe God is raising up an issue where you heard his word and you rejected it.
Mm-hmm.
And, what Willie said, if you're a believer, then, that's conviction.
Amen.
But if you're an unbeliever, that's rebellion.
Yeah.
And it's important. God wants you to come to him. He wants you to give your life, submit to him, because he has a better plan for you than you do for yourself.
Yeah. When you think about the Word of God and what it does, you cannot help but go to Isaiah, and he talks about how that the Word of God never returns void.
It accomplishes
what it is set out to accomplish, and it even uses the examples of the snow melt from the mountains and how that when it melts, it goes down through the streams, and it reaches into the fields, and it does exactly what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so with the young man who's working with our youth group now, he was with me over the weekend, and I've got to go make a couple visits, and he's in seminary, and so he was just saved 3 years ago, so praise the Lord for that. He surrendered his life into ministry. Y'all pray for Leo and as he just continues to grow. But he went with me on a visit, and the visit, he hadn't been on a lot of visitation, and the visit didn't go well, to be honest with you. It wasn't argumentative or anything like that, but when the gospel was presented to the individual completely rejected it, even saying, "I don't like God." And then that discussion went further and further. And so that presents boldness on my end to just say, well, God loves you. And mm-hmm. When they made that comment, they even said, I assume that makes you not like me. And I said, no, it makes me love you more.
Yeah.
And I said, I just mm-hmm. want you to know that God's love is yeah. real. He loves you yeah. despite where you are. Matter of fact, that's where that individual is where we all are prior to salvation.
Yeah.
For while we were without, right?
Mm-hmm.
God saved us. Mm-hmm. And so
I'd rather you be hot or cold.
Amen.
If you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Amen. And I think that for the young man who was with me, when we walked away from that, he said it was very beneficial for him to see that not every visit goes well.
Yes, true.
But that person, what I shared in return to that is that with the obligation of preaching and teaching and declaring even on individual basis and then on even these platforms, there's a part within the pastor's heart, I think, that carries the weight of understanding you've made these people accountable. And that's what the Word of God does. Sometimes the Word of God is that tool that God uses to bring the unbeliever to the gospel. And sometimes it's used as an accountability that when they stand before Christ at that great white throne of judgment, no one's going to be able to say, I didn't know. And these moments of declaring the Word of God will be those moments that will say, you remember that moment? And so it's one of those things. And so there's a double-edged sword in the preaching of the gospel, the teaching of the Word of God, is you understand that those who reject, you've just made them more accountable.
Because they know now.
Yep, there's weight in that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it still hurts. It still hurts the heart when see people reject the gospel, turn their backs on God.
Yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. You know, we just finished. Y'all just.
No, you're the guest. We'd love to hear from you.
I'm a guest. I can just go on and on.
Yes. Cool.
Well, except for the next upcoming break.
We just. So we've been in a series for some time now on Christ's assessment of his church. And there's been several comments that have been made that really have talked about that. Talk about Christ. I think someone said something to the effect of Christ moving among his church, working among his people, and things like that. And that's the imagery of every one of those letters that Christ gave, that Christ had John write down to hand to the messengers that returned those to those churches. And the message was that Christ was moving among his churches. And in some ways, that was encouraging to a few of them.
Yeah.
But to most of them, it was actually terrifying.
Yeah.
Because it was almost like mom and dad coming home and finding your room. It was very rebuking, right?
Yeah.
And Christ is, he is moving among his churches for sure.
Yes.
That's not even a question. The question is what's he finding? And what's he see when he looks into your church? And what's he see when he looks into the body of believers? Well, we just finished the series covering the Church of Philadelphia. And one of the points of that was so encouraging to me was, you know, you're dealing with, you know, one of the two churches of the seven. That's like 28% of the churches. if you were to do the numbers, it's like 28.
Today.
Correct. And when you let that sink in, how many churches are being faithful, comparatively speaking? If that was the case there, then is it compounded today? And so he comes to that church, though, and he says, I open a door that no one can close. And I'm not going to go into the Church of Laodicea where he talks about that because you'll have to come to our church to hear that one. We're starting that Sunday. He talks about how that he opens a door and no one closes. Right. You know, the beautiful thing about that is that someone said something just a few minutes ago about staying within the church and made me think about the pastor that was here before me and how he said that one of the great issues with the church is they've turned inward, not outward. And Christ has spent a lot of time talking about, I give you the keys and the gates of hell will not prevail. And all of those present the ideas of doors and gates. And when he says to the Church of Philadelphia, he says, you've been faithful to keep my word. In other words, they held to the truth. Well, because of that, Christ said, I'm going to open the door.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
And have not denied my name, Pastor.
They have denied it.
They
have stood for the truth. And Christ said, because you've stood for the truth, I'm going to open the door for you guys. And they were little. They were small. But they were faithful, and therefore they were powerful because they were empowered by Christ. And so it's so very important that they have not denied the name, that they have kept the word, and with endurance, it even says. And so that's kind of where I think that our churches, they must strive to keep the word. They cannot get to the point where they're meeting the desires of the world and where they're faltering to those things.
Well, it's to embrace the culture you're in over, you know, the Word of God and what God intends for you to be as a church. That's a death knell
for that
body,
absolutely,
for those people. And we're not supposed to be doing that. We're not seeking any favor from God if that's where we're at.
Yeah.
And in fact, we can look and see churches that have done that. What's happening to them?
Yeah.
They're dying.
Sure. Well, and sometimes the opposite, though, right? I mean, some of them
could be growing.
Some of them are
exploding. Yeah, you're right.
They're coming. They're,
wrong theology,
that's
right?
What is it? I think I've got it marked right here, if you give me just a second.
Yeah.
I think that Peter talks about that. Yeah. Mm. He says that these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Mm. This is 2 Peter 2. Yep. And verse 18, he says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through wantonness. Those that were clean escape them who live in error. And it also, Paul also speaks about that elsewhere and to Timothy. And what he's saying is he's talking about going to those tickling ears. When you start saying the things that tickle the ears, they're going to flock in.
Yes.
And so the reality is that according to Scripture, that it's not necessarily the churches that dwindle that are not keeping truth.
Yes.
Sometimes it's the churches like Philadelphia that dwindle, and yet they're holding truth, and yet they're powerful because their measurement is not by the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes the churches that are exploding, sometimes, and I'm not putting either church in a right, wrong category. I'm just saying this is what the Word of God says. Sometimes the ones that are exploding, they're simply ministering to the ones with tickling ears. They're just giving them what they want, and therefore they're coming to them.
And dealing with the hard topics and the hard things, right, Pastor?
Absolutely.
Tickling their ears for just what they want to hear.
Yeah, you've got to
say. That's very attractive.
But thank God he's the one who builds his church.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? And since he's the one who does it, I'm relieved from that responsibility.
Yes.
Amen.
If he does it.
Well, let's take a little break, and we'll be back.
Okay.
We're saints and sinners. Why do we live like enemies? Let's leave our anger, forgive our debtors, live like a people set free. Set free. Oh,
Here we are. Welcome back to the front line. And we're delighted to have Pastor Willie Davenport with us today from First Baptist.
I love being here. You guys are just really awesome to hang out with.
Well, thank you.
You know, this is fun.
This is fun. Yeah. And it
should be. I'm surprised that we only have, 3.5 hours left?
Yeah, really.
Oh, yeah, just beginning.
Yeah, this is going to be our marathon broadcast.
Our marathon.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be interesting to see honestly, the manager hasn't given me permission to go beyond noon, but, you know, maybe someday there'd be an interest in having a marathon broadcast where we just... Yeah. Well, actually, we do that. It's called fundraising.
Sounds like
twice a year, we have 2 weeks of online live on the air fundraising.
Oh, yeah. My old Navy days, when I sit in the bar, they say, last call, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Right.
Got to go. That's awesome.
We might add that, you know, Ed and I both have been delivered from alcohol.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
For a long time. And, we still have those memories. You know, I never did bars though, because I figured I could always drink cheaper at home.
Yeah,
You know.
Yeah,
but anyway,
praise God you're past that vice.
Yeah, really.
Yeah,
but praise
God.
That's, you know, the only thing that's left is dark chocolate. Still working on that. But,
and it's also cheaper at home.
Right. Just so. Well, you know, I got to tell you, folks listening in, if you're just kicking in and you're saying, "Wow, what did I miss?" You know. Most of our live programs, in fact, I think almost all of them, are on demand. Now, everybody likes to know they have some power, right?
Yeah.
So you have some power. You can go to our website, WCNO.com, and once you get there, the home page, if you look on the top of the page, there's like two blue ovals. One of them says ways to listen on demand. Click on that. Now, you'll get that day's on-demand programs that have been recorded in the archives. And if it's not that day, if it's another day, just go up to the top, click on the calendar, find the day you're interested in. It'll give you all the programs on demand. You can listen to it live or download it.
Yeah.
So if something you heard today intrigued you, you want to hear the whole broadcast, that's how you can do that.
Amen.
Yeah. And this is so cool. Also... we are, we have this software, we've been using it now for about 6 months, but it's still, that's interesting.
Yeah.
The light's out. We are on the air.
Okay.
Ed is, what you can't see because we're not visual, is there's a light in the studio that's a sign that says on air. And there's a light that goes on when you're on the air.
Yeah.
And the fact is, I'm looking at the board, and all of our mics are on. We're broadcasting, but the bulb is out.
The light's off, but we are home.
We are. That's right. We are home. Yeah, right. So anyway, back to it. We have about 12 minutes or so, but we have to say goodbye. I would like, before we forget it, I've been announcing where you're from. You know, the First Baptist Port Salerno.
Yeah, sir.
And, you know, we do have listeners that are, they're either in a place they're not comfortable with, or God is moving them on, or they've been in church for a while. Maybe they just met Jesus, they know where to go, and they're within reasonable driving distance. So tell us about First Baptist Port Salerno.
Well, appreciate the opportunity to tell that. Since I was here last time, we were able to get our website up and going. It still is under construction, so there's more to add. But you can go to FirstBaptistPortSalerno.org.
Is that first, the word first?
Yep, it's all spelled out, FirstBaptistPortSalerno.org. And we're still developing that, so we have a lot to take on there. But our address is 4397 Southeast Dixie Highway, Stuart, Florida. And, of course, you could get the other information with as far as phone number and everything when you just look those up. And you can also find us on Facebook and YouTube, just typing in First Baptist Church of Port Salerno. And our regular service times are Sunday morning. We have Sunday school at 9:45. We have regular worship at 10:45. And then it's at 4:30 on Sunday. We have a deeper Bible study. Mm-hmm. Basically, all those tidbits that I try to squeeze out of the morning message, we try to pull some of those back in. And yesterday afternoon was one of our – it was so good. We had so much anticipation and involvement. And so very thankful for that. So if you want to look for something that's in the afternoon. And then on Wednesday, we have our regular study and prayer time. But we just started a series. We're calling it "When Will These Things Be?" And that's coming from Matthew 24, when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Can you tell us when these things will be? When will be the end of the age?" And so we're starting an end time Bible study on Wednesday nights.
Wow.
Cool.
If you're looking for a place to go and hear some of these, what the scripture says about that, come be a part of that. That's probably going to be going on for several months. But if you come right now, I almost sound like I was getting ready to make a pitch. If you come
you can make the pitch
for free.
Yeah.
And,
but, no, it's, I want you to make the pitch.
Yeah, you know? So we want you to come be a part of that. And bring your own opinion. You know, we want to know, because we want to see what the scripture, how it stands against the scripture. And so come and be there for that. And then we, as Anna mentioned earlier, we have a fellowship dinner the second Saturday of every month. We have several other things happening. Our fifth Sunday, we have a visitors luncheon where we want those who come to hear who we are. We don't want anything about who we are to be in the corners. Mm-hmm. And we want to be very clear about what we believe. And so come and be a part of that. We have an outreach activity. And I do want to get this out here, because I don't know when I'll be back. And if not, I want to make sure this gets on here. And we'll probably put this onto the radio as well. But Friday, October 31st, and that is Halloween, we're going to have an outreach activity. And we're going to call it I Saw Scavenger Event.
Cool.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to have a fun free – it's a pre-presentation, and then we're going to send groups of 5 to 10 – these are usually children coming in looking for things – out into our fenced-in portion of our property.
Okay.
And they're going to follow clues, and they're going to arrive at each I Saw experience.
Wow.
And so everyone is going to be telling their – we're going to have everyone dressed and in character of Bible characters who saw Jesus.
Oh, right.
And
I love
they're
going
to tell stories, and they're going to give the gospel through that while they give out candy. And then they're going to exit through the final gate. And so these are just some of the things. We're still working on some of the plans, but put that in your calendar for Friday, October 31st. If you're looking for somewhere to go and have fun, but also – feel safe. You'll feel very safe here. And we're looking forward to putting this program together.
What time of day will that start?
We haven't set a time for that, so just kind of keep following us. And if you drive by the church, you'll see the banners starting to come out soon. This is still about 2 months away from happening. And we're also going to consider maybe whether possibly a vendor or something like that. We don't know all the details, but we just know we want to do this as an opportunity to love on our community, and we're going to do that through the gospel.
Amen.
And we can, after the program, I can, you know, give you some prompts as to how to get in our community. Any calendar.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's free and open to the public, so it qualifies, and we can get it on the air twice a day.
Nice.
And people get up early just to listen to that. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't, but you know, it's twice a day, the morning and the afternoon.
Yeah.
Current, up-to-date stuff on what's happening in God's church. Hey, before time runs out.
Oh, it does.
It's amazing. It's one of the things I'm not going to miss about living in creation, you know, is time.
Right.
Time. But you're also a musician.
Yes, sir.
You have a music ministry, a tremendous gift in that way. And tell us a little bit about how God's used you in the music ministry.
Well, so if you go on to anywhere you listen to music and you type in Davenport, and I would recommend in Beautiful Sacrifices or type Davenport, Crossing Over Jordan, you'll find my works that have been published onto there. And if you want to listen to those, most of those come from the heart of a pastor who – not only those songs were developed out of study of the Word of God, but they're also developed with the heart of a pastor toward his family. The song Beautiful Sacrifices is very much so directly about that. It's how that I'm so thankful that throughout ministry, my wife and my children have followed, and they've done that willingly. And even though it's not always been, you know, pleasant, they've still been very faithful to that. And my oldest just got married back in March, and so, you know, we're excited. Maybe one day grandbabies in the future. And so, and then my other one there, she's also in Texas where they're in seminary. And so, but that's a part of that ministry and what I've done with that. And then God's given me an opportunity to write music for our association's VBS program over the last several years. And I just finished the project that's going to be released in 2027, which is going to be called Proclaimers. It's going to have a superhero theme. And so
that's cool.
It's been really awesome to get to exercise that, and prayerfully God will use those things.
So you're in addition to pastoring, you have an active music ministry.
Yeah.
within and outside the church.
Yeah, absolutely. And through the course of the year, usually I'll take several weeks where I'll travel and I'll visit these churches and I'll bring the music to those. But usually that's just a foot in the door to just say, hey, let me love on you a little bit, and to take that pastor and say, hey, is there anything we can do to serve you? And we just try to be ministers to those.
That's cool.
Okay.
You have CDs out there, right? Available?
I do have CDs. They work as coasters nowadays.
Yeah.
But like I said, it is available wherever music is streamed. Streaming as well, even YouTube and everything, so you can find those.
Okay, well, fantastic. Yeah, and you're clearly, you have brought that gift to First Baptist Port Salerno. I mean, you have an active ministry there.
Well, we also have others that love to worship, and they bring music to our church as well. And so very thankful for Brother Mike, who leads our song service in the morning, and others who participate. That Sister Kathy plays our piano, and Miss Pat. So we're thankful for all them who serve.
Well, we got a couple of minutes left. Mm-hmm. What about the future?
What about the future? My goodness.
Tell us about the end times, Pastor.
Yeah. I was going to say, how far in the future you want to go?
We only have a couple of minutes, but I just thought I'd throw that out, see what your response is.
Jesus is coming back.
Well, he is, right?
Christ is coming back.
Amen to that.
So we opened up Wednesday, and I'll just close it with this. And we're starting with Matthew 24. What does Jesus say about end times first? And what we find is that in that Olivet discourse, when he's been asked that question, is what seems to be greatest on his heart. He says it here in verse 4, and he repeats it multiple times. He says, take heed, and this falls right in line with everything we've talked about. He says, take heed that no man deceive you.
Amen.
Fact is that there's going to be much deceit that's taking place. Many who are deceiving and being deceived.
Yes.
And I think that if you ask that question, well, what can we expect in the future? We can expect a lot more deceiving to be going on.
Yeah.
And be careful. Be aware, you know, listener, beware, because there's only one rock foundation, and you need to be confident that what you're doing is you're rightly dividing the word of God, that you're going to a place that's teaching truth and standing on truth and is willing to take these stands.
Amen. Yes. So. Absolutely. Yes.
And I would now, before we actually end up having to end, I wish we didn't. I wish we could do a marathon.
Yeah. But
it just means that somewhere down the road, God's going to say to me, have you come back? But would you please, we have like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, would you just lift up in prayer? Specifically, I'm thinking our listeners that are unsaved, but they're listening, and they need to have an invitation to come to Christ. Would you
do that? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now, and the whole thing about your word, God, it teaches us your love for us, your love for man, that you would desire that all would come to repentance, that all would be saved.
Yeah.
God, the terminology that we start our prayers with, Father, is a terminology that demands the question, is this God the God? Is he my Father? And so, Lord, if there's anybody right now, and they're listening to this, or maybe someday someone will open up one of these and they'll hear this prayer, God, if they would ask that question, is this God my Father? Lord, right now, I pray that you would please, Lord, convict them of their sins. Draw them to the cross through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, forgive them of their sins that they could be saved and spend eternity in your house. Lord, I pray that you would be with those who are listening, that they would not be deceived. Lord, please guide them, that they would find truth. And Lord, that we would worship you in that. We love you so much. You're worthy of all of our praise, and we ask this in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Beautiful prayer.
Well, Willie, thank you for joining us today.
Hey.
It was a true blessing, and I'm so thankful that you're there, and there are actually pastors like you that God is using to really bring, not just to bring people to Christ, but which is the very beginning, but to broaden and deepen their lives in the truth.
Amen.
Truth of the gospel, the wonderful, unalterable, authoritative word of God.
Amen.
That doesn't change. Amen. And we're just blessed. Amen. Next time, come back and join us next week. We'll be here unless Jesus comes, in which case I can't tell you.
That's right.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front lines.